Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to thank everybody for being here. I mean, it's good to be in the house. It's good to be in the house. It's one thing to watch it on TV, but it's good to be in the house, man. There's just like a spirit of faith up in this place today. Amen. It's up here anyway. Do I need to come out there and bring it to you? Hallelujah. Heather's got it. So others have got it. Come on. We're going to walk in victory in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at this verse 13. I'm going to read it in the New King James. It says, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Oh, I read that out of the New Living, didn't I? Okay, well, let me read it out of the New King James. Okay. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. And he goes on to say, we also believe and therefore speak. So this gives us a good indicator of how we're going to walk in victory. Let me make it real simple for you. You've got to open your mouth and speak right things. I believe it was in Psalms, it says, how powerful are right words? How powerful, maybe that was Job. But anyway, it says, how powerful are right words? Well, it's also true, how powerful are wrong words? But if you want to walk in victory, they need to be right words. Amen. And right words is not saying what you see. Right words is not saying what you're experiencing. Right words is saying what God's word says about the situation. Right? Over in Proverbs 4, he says, put a perverse lips far from you. What are perverse lips? Saying, what does God call evil? Anything that he don't agree with. It don't have to be profanities. It don't have to be dirty jokes or talking foul or anything that doesn't agree with God's word is foul. What is foul? Think about baseball, right? It's out of bounds. It's if it's a foul ball, nope. Keep on swinging because it's out of bounds. It's you can't legally run to the bases and score a run with a foul ball, right? So what God calls foul is out of bounds according to him. Well, what if I don't like what he calls out of bounds? That is your problem. You don't get to decide what's in bounds and out of bounds. God has already settled that for us. He says, my word, speaking my word is in bounds. Speaking against my word is evil. And it's out of bounds and it's foul. And the Bible says to put a foul mouth or perverse lips far from you. Why? Because there's no victory in talking like that. There's no victory in talking like that. So we've got to get our words to line up to the word of God. Amen? I didn't actually come to talk about that, but apparently the Holy Spirit did. Okay. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe, Paul said, and therefore speak. And I reminded you, I told you last week how Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. He says, the spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. Can you imagine? Just think for a moment what it would be like to walk around, and some of us already do, but walking around with when I say a spirit of faith or a spirit of victory, we're talking about walking around, living life with a sense of victory. In other words, instead of looking for something bad to happen, you're looking for something good to happen. It's having a sense of victory. It's like, man, I just believe something good's going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Oral Roberts used to say that all the time. I believe something good is going to happen to me today. See, that's what we're talking about, having that spirit of faith that I just believe God. God's fixing to do something wonderful for me today. Can you imagine walking around all the time with that? How many know when you're like that? How many has ever been in that kind of a state? Anybody ever walked with the spirit of faith? Have you ever walked in a spirit of doubt and unbelief? All right, which one's better? Spirit of faith, right? Because, I mean, spirit of doubt and unbelief, I mean, you're just like, you're always expecting something bad to happen. And that puts you in torment, right? Drains you. You're in dread. You're stressing out because you're just like, oh, what's coming around the corner next? That is not a spirit of victory. The other part of Brother Hagin's statement was this. First, he says, the spirit of faith is a spirit of victory. The spirit of doubt is the spirit of defeat. And we've been there, always walking around with a spirit of defeat. Oh, nothing ever good happens to me. You know, all these kind of negativity, and it's just draining you. And then you come around people, and then you start draining them. Because all you negative, they're trying to, come on, man. The Word of God says, I know what the Word says, but. And you start spewing all that poison, that toxicity into the atmosphere. And it's like, don't bring your toxicity up in my place. Amen. Don't come to me with your toxicity because I'm going to give you the Word. And if you can't line up with the Word, well, then just stay home, I guess. I don't know what to tell you, man. I just don't want your poison up in my business, right? I love you. I love you, and I'm going to try to help you, but if you refuse to receive the help, what can I do for you, right? Hallelujah. Well, last week we said we was going to talk about two words, and so the first word we're talking about is victor. Well, there's two words. There's victors and there's victims, so right now we're talking about victims. We're going to get to the victors. Don't worry. All right. So let's look at the definition of victims. This is where we stopped last week, so let's talk about this. Here's just some definitions. A victim is defined by a person who gets the worst of every contest. A person who gets the worst. So you're always expecting the worst. You're always getting the raw end of the deal. And those kind of people are usually quick to let you know that they're always getting the bad end of the deal, right? So this is defined in the Webster's Dictionary. A person who gets the worst of every contest. This is what victims are. An underdog. Anybody know what an underdog is? When a team is listed as an underdog, it's because they're not expected to win. That's why they're the underdog. They're not expected to win. Are you walking around with an underdog mentality? Right? Are you walking around with an underdog mentality? I remember one of my heroes when I was a kid. Anybody remember this cartoon, Underdog? Yeah. Right? Because he's this puny-looking little dog. He was never expected to win, right? And I don't know why. I mean, I was just like, oh, I like Underdog. Underdog's so awesome. I didn't realize what an underdog was. He was supposed to be a superhero. But he was never expected to win, all right? What's another definition? An unfortunate. Do you go around living your life expecting unfortunate things to happen to you? Right? Well, hopefully not. Hopefully not. We don't want to be there, but unfortunately some people are. I did lose. I noticed I lost some of the crowd from last Sunday. They're like, oh, he's talking about that. I don't want to be there. I'm not saying that's what they're. Stop it. Quit looking around to see who's missing. Oh, so-and-so's not here. They must be one of these underdogs. No, that's what we're doing. That's not what we're saying. I'm just kidding. Come on. Here's another definition of a victim. An injured party. An injured party. What does that mean? That means someone that always walks around and they're more focused on their injuries or their calamities or their problems, or their challenges, or their struggles. They're more focused on their hurt. They're more focused on their pain than they are anything else. And they always want to tell you how they weren't able to do this, or they're always in pain. They always want to tell you about their pain. They always want to tell you about their problems. You try to encourage them with the Word. Yeah, I know. I've been speaking the word, but you know, and they want to get back to talking about that's an injured party. Here's another word of victim. Loser. A loser mentality. Never, in fact, let's look at a couple of statements here. Let's see, am I getting ahead of myself? Yeah, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'll wait for that. But listen to this statement here. Identifying with these mindsets will keep you from being victorious. What if we went around thinking about how Jesus is the answer? Instead of talking about your sickness, and quit talking about, first of all, you need to stop. Remember we talked about the speaking part? You need to stop calling it my. Because when you call something my, it's like a magnet. It draws it to you. My allergies. My sickness. My arthritis. My cancer. My whatever the calamity is. Right? You need to quit saying that. Right? I believe. Therefore, I spoke. What's the implication? I believe, so therefore I'm speaking what I believe. And I said this last week. The problem is people that have a victim's mentality are speaking what they believe. And that is why they're attracting more of it to themselves. So we got to change the way we think. We got to change our words, right? We got to change what we're allowing in our heart, right? Glory to God. Man, I could really just really dig into that, and we could cover a lot of areas, but I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. We don't want to be a person that thinks that I'm always going to get the worst of every situation. You don't want to be a person that always feels like you're the underdog. I don't walk around thinking I'm an underdog. I walk around going, I can do this. No matter what the challenge is, I can overcome it. God's going to show me how to get. I may not know in and of myself. I may not have the knowledge of myself of how to do something. But I know the one that does. And so if I know the one that does, he knows the answer. He knows everything about everything. Then why would I walk around as an underdog? Right? Why would I walk around as a victim? Why would I walk around with a negative mentality that finally, I knew something was going to come that was going to trip me up. No, we can overcome these things. Amen? All right, look at this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to begin to show you how to get out of and to stay out of a victim's mentality. Come on, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 11. Is this helping anybody yet? Hallelujah. Like I said last week, if you feel like I'm saying things that are hitting you, don't look around. Don't drop your head and go, oh, woe is me. Just look straight ahead and say, I knew someone was going to need this message. Right? Just don't. You know, don't give yourself away, right? We all need this message, right? Yes, we do. All right, so look at what Jesus said. How many is interested in what Jesus said? How many know Jesus said it's truth? All right, Matthew chapter 11. Let's look down in verse 28. He says this. He says, and Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And I will sit with you, and I will mourn with you, and I will moan with you, and I will groan with you. No, it didn't say that. It says, come to me, all of you, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you relief. I will give you rest. I love that. Hallelujah. I mean, it's been working a long, hard day, and you're just looking forward to break time. It's like, oh, man, I just want to sit down for a minute. I want to relax. I want to rest. I want to be relieved of all this stuff that I'm having to do right now. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Notice he says, let me teach you. Even Jesus can't teach an unteachable person. So don't be unteachable. Don't be unteachable. Allow the Spirit of God to speak through me. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and teach you how to not be a person with a victim mentality. He says, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Watch this. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Everybody say easy. Easy. Does anybody like easy? Anybody? I mean, I like easy. It ain't always easy. And I don't fall apart if it ain't. But I like easy. Right? Right? He says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give to you is light. Everybody say easy and light. Say, I like easy and light. If I had to pick between two packages, I would probably want to pick, I would want to pick the light one. At my house, I always pick the heavy one, and I give Heather the light one, right? Because I'm a gentleman, and I'm a good husband, right? But easy and light, that's what Jesus, in other words, if you're struggling, you know, you have people that, I've heard ministers say this, oh man, ministry is so hard. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, people just don't understand all we go through. Oh, man, all the stuff we have to deal with. Oh, it's so hard, right? Well, they haven't read this scripture because it is easy and it is light. Why? Why is it easy and light? Because you're supposed to be casting all your care over on Him. You're supposed to be giving everything to Him. And if He, here it is, here's the trick. If He's got it, you don't. If you've cast all your burdens over on Him, He's carrying them. You're not. If you take the big old pack and you throw it up on a mule, up on a horse, and you're walking across the field, who's carrying it? The horse has got it. You're not. Isn't that much easier? Isn't it much lighter? You feel lighter on your feet when someone else is carrying the issue, right? Well, He says, give it all to me. He says, I got big shoulders. I got this. I can handle it. Let me carry it for you, right? It's easy. It's light. If your life is not easy, if it's not light, come on, then maybe you're carrying more than you're supposed to be carrying, right? And when you start doing that, then you start getting upset with people that are living life easy and light. Why are they so happy? How come they don't have to carry what I'm carrying? Because you ain't got to carry what you're carrying either. You can get rid of it just like I do. Right? And hey, now listen to me. Hey, I'm always working at this. There's always opportunities for all of us to carry our own load. So I'm not saying I never have challenges. I'm just saying we do the best we can to give them all to the Lord. I don't do it as quickly as I would like sometimes. Sometimes I just say, oh man, I just got to deal with this. No, really what I need to do is get in the presence of God and find His strategy. And then I just give it to Him and say, okay, Lord, You tell me when You want me to do something about it. Right? So we got to get better at that, don't we? Easy and light. Listen, this is the only way. This is the only way you are going to be able to walk in victory. I started to say victorious and victory at the same time. So it sounded weird. Okay. I'm from Alabama. Give me a little break here. Oh, won't you feel sorry for me because I'm from Alabama? No, I'm just kidding. I feel so victimized because of my southern. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I thank God from where I'm from. You know, there's this awesome football coach this amazing team in Alabama. But I read this. I was reading this article the other day about, you know, because Alabama's coming up on LSU, which they barely won yesterday. Holy smoking moly. But I was reading this article the other day, and because it was a big, they're talking about, are we going to get revenge on LSU for a game we lost in our house two years ago, blah, 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 blah. And they went out on the 50-yard line, and they're like talking, you know, from now on, this is our house. We're going to kick their butts all over the place, and all that, whatever. So the big thing was, are we going to get revenge on them yesterday for what they did in our house 2 years ago? Because we play at each other's field every other year, right? But anyways, in this article, they're talking about this. And an interviewer was talking to an ex-player about Coach Saban. And they said that there's this statement. It's kind of an ongoing statement that he has around there. And this is it. So what? What now? So what? What now? We just won the national championship. So what? What now? Oh, we just lost the game and it dropped us in the rankings. So what? What now? Oh, I don't have the money to pay my rent. So what? What now? Oh, I've got sickness in my body. So what? What now? You can, in other words, you can sit there and grovel in your victory and not be prepared for the next challenge that is coming. Or you can sit there and grovel in your defeat and grovel in your pain and grovel in your challenge and not be ready and not rise up to secure your victory. So here's the question. So what? What now? In other words, you're hurting? Big deal. What are you going to do about it now? Are you going to sit there and whine and cry about it? Or are you going to go, you know what, you stupid devil? And you're going to rise up, you're going to punch him right in the face by walking in victory. So what? What now? I read that and I'm like, ooh, that's good. I think I'm going to have that put up on my wall in my office right before I walk out of my office every day. So what? What now? What am I going to do now? How am I going to? It's not that you get hit with a challenge. It's how you respond to it that matters. We all get hit with challenges. Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, got hit with challenges all the time. It wasn't that he got challenged. It's how did he respond when he was being tempted by the devil in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't that he got challenged. What mattered is how he responded to it. How did he respond to those things? With the word. Enemy said something, the word says. So the enemy's like, oh, he's bringing the word into this. Okay. So then the enemy tries to deceive him by twisting a scripture. And then he responds, yeah, but the word also says. He brings it back into balance. So everything's about the word. Even with Jesus. He could have said, well, I'm the Son of God. I'll do whatever I want. No, he knew that even he on this earth had to live according to the plan of God. Right? So it's all about the word. Are you going to run to the word? Hallelujah. So what? What now? Victory or calamity? What are you going to do now? It's what you're going to do now, no matter what has happened, good or bad. What you do now is going to determine whether you're going to live with a victor's mentality or a victim's mentality. Man, this is good preaching, isn't it? Yeah. I'm excited about it, actually, because this is going to help get people free. And or however you want to look at it, it's going to help people to stay free. I know that I'm not saying everybody in here has a victim's mentality. There may be some. And you know what? There may be people in here that, you know, we declare victory at some times, but then we allow that victim's mentality kind of pull on us at other times. But come on, we can walk in victory every day of our life. Every day of our life, we can walk in victory. Amen? You got people that say this, well, boy, I remember the good old days. Man, I remember back 30 years ago when I was in that meeting and the power of God was moving and people were getting healed and delivered. What are they implying? They're playing in what was good back then, but not now. I walked in victory back then. I loved those victorious days, but man, not today. right? Then you got people go, well, you know, nothing ever works out for me anyway, so par for the course, right? Both of those are a victim's mentality. Either you're remembering the good times and as if those good times can't be today, or you're just figuring, well, I'm always defeated anyway. I'm always, I never do win. I always seem to lose anyway, so it doesn't matter what I really do. It does matter what you do. And what you're doing right now is securing your defeated mentality, right? We want to overcome that. Jesus said it's easy. My yoke is easy. No, excuse me, my burdens is easy and my yoke, whichever way it goes. It's easy and light. Yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he says. And that's what it should be for us. Come to me. Learn of me. Let me teach you. Let me give you rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. 1 John chapter 5. Ooh, okay. I got to hurry. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 5 in the New King James. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Hallelujah. We're talking about living in victory. See, I know it's a lot more fun when we just focus on the attributes of a victorious life, right? When we just focus on the good stuff. But sometimes when we've done that, we talk about the good stuff, but people never learned what the bad stuff was, so they keep trying to live them both, and you can't. The Bible says good water and bad water cannot flow from the same fountain. You can't have victory and defeated mentality cannot flow in the same vessel. Right? All right. Glory to God. Here we go. Watch this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 in the New King James, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, that's why faith is so important. Without faith, you can't even please God. Why is it not pleasing to God to not have faith? Because you're not... He wants you living in victory. He wants you walking around with a spirit of faith, not just on Sunday morning, but every day, all day, throughout your day, throughout your week. He wants you walking around with a, God's going to turn this around. It's either a thank you, Lord, for coming through, or thank you, God, that you're coming through. Right? Thank you, Lord, for coming through. We say that when God does something good for us, right? Well, we also say that when we were expecting him to do something good for us, right? Thank you, Lord, for coming through. That's awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for coming through, because I know it's coming to pass in Jesus' name. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph, right? Glory to God. So he's, in fact, let's just go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Then I'll wrap it up with this. It says here, now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, New King James, says, now thanks be to God who always, always. Well, that right there removes any ability for us or any excuse or reason for us to not have victory, doesn't it? It removes every bit of it because he says he always. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. If I wasn't saved today, you know what I'd do? I'd get saved. Because this is, if you're in Christ, he will lead you in victory every time. Always. Always. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through, now here's the part I want to talk about just for a minute and then we'll close. Watch this. So now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and, everybody say and, okay, through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Through us, say that's me, right? And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. See, a while ago we were talking about, you know, when things overflow, some people call that a mess, but God calls it abundance. right? And he's saying right here that he's wanting us to have this mentality of victory. He says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Let me define diffuse for you. The word diffuse means to cause, to spread out freely. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Amen. Diffuse means to cause, to spread out freely. Watch this one. Diffuse means to make known, it means to make known to or cause to be used by large numbers of people. So what God wants for you and for me is to have this spirit of faith, to have this, walk around with this air, this presence of victory. And he wants us, thanks be unto God who caused us to triumph and through us diffuses it. Take that same spirit of faith. Take that same spirit of victory. Problem is, too many people are taking a spirit of defeat and diffusing it. And spreading it to everybody. But what we need to do is we need to take the spirit of faith. We need to take that spirit of victory, the attitude of victory, and diffuse it. Now, let me tell you, there's going to be some people that ain't going to be happy with you. Because unhappy people are not happy with happy people. Am I right about it? Right? So they're not happy with happy people. I mean, you get around an unhappy person and they're just frustrated with you because you're happy. Happy people are happy with happy people. And it seems like unhappy people are happy with unhappy people. Because they can just share each other's misery. Unless they're wanting free. Then they're not happy with unhappy people. The ones that are hurting and they want to be free, they're going to probably be more tolerant at least. And happier with happy people. Right? But what if we don't diffuse? What if we don't share our answers? What if we don't allow that spirit of faith to diffuse to many, many people? Remember the definition? Let me help you again. It means to cause to spread out freely. It means to be used by large numbers of people. And so we're supposed to diffuse the fragrance of God's knowledge. We're supposed to diffuse what God has shown us with those around us. Why? So that we take our victory and share it with them and help them to have victory. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Doesn't that sound a lot like the nature of God? God is just a giver. He is so generous. He is so kind, so loving. He is so giving. He is like, hey, you know, take that same victory that I've given you and share it with everybody. Hallelujah. Let people know, listen, I know you're going through some stuff, but I'm telling you, God can set you free. Man, I'm telling you, God can heal you. God can help you. Oh, my goodness. And don't let their negativity cause you to be negative. Don't get upset with them because they're negative. We still got to walk in love, right? Excuse me. We still get to walk in love. It's not a laborious thing. Well, sometimes it can be. The Bible does call it a labor of love for a reason. Sometimes we need to walk in love even when the people make it kind of hard to walk in love. You know, you're trying to spread good news to them and they're like being bitter and angry with you. You just want to go, well, forget you then. Go over the corner and suffer, you know. But that's not the God that we serve. He's a God of love. He says, come on, just keep loving them. Don't try to shove it down their throat. If it's irritating, back off. Till you feel like they've settled down and maybe you can come and try to talk to them again. Give them some more good news. It's like, you know, we used to watch, I'll share this story and then I'll close. But me and Heather used to watch this show called, Pitbull's Parolee. You got, some of you have seen that. Man, I love that show. But anyway, but there was some of the pit bulls that they would go to rescue and they had been beaten. and starved and kicked and tried to be made mean and tried to be made fighter dogs and whatever. And then when that wasn't what the people wanted, they just discarded them. Well, now they're like, humans did that to me, so I'm afraid of humans. So what did they do? They didn't go up in this grass. I'm going to love on you, and I'm going to help you, and you're going to like it. They didn't do that. No, they'd go over, and if they wouldn't take the food from them, they would lay it down, and they would leave it. Then they would come back the next day, and they would give them some more food. And it has kept giving them what they would take, kept meeting them where they were at, until eventually then they would leave a trail, and then they would begin to follow the trail. And at the end of the trail, they would have some food in their hand, and then the dogs would finally, after sometimes many days, they would finally come up and eat out of their hand. And then eventually, they had earned their trust, right? Sometimes you just got to love people for a while. Just got to love them for a while. Come on, but if you're walking with a spirit of faith, you're walking with an attitude of victory. It's not about shoving stuff down people's throats. It's about give them what they'll take when they'll take it. Give them what they'll take when they'll take it. And the more they do that, the more your people don't care how much you until they know how much you. And for those on Facebook that couldn't hear that, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So our God has poured his love into us to help us to love people with that spirit of faith, with that spirit of victory. We're not going to lose our spirit of victory, but we're going to diffuse it. We're going to live it to where it spreads. Sometimes, when you're walking with the spirit of victory, you don't even have to say anything. You know, there's some people you just like being around because they carry that spirit of faith. They carry that spirit of victory, and you just like being around them because you know if they do say something, it's going to be encouraging. It's going to be something good. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Did this help anybody today? Did you get anything? Let's go ahead and stand up on your feet.